Why are children often afraid of the dark? What is it about darkness that puts us on edge even as adults? Is it because we can't see in the dark? Is it because we don't know what's there? Maybe it's because we know what could be there, hidden in the dark. And that thought is truly terrifying to us. But add a little bit of light and our fears become relieved, because it is then that our sight is restored to us. It's interesting then that the very thing that we are often afraid of is also where we go to hide. As children, we find a dark place to hide when we do something bad. When running for our lives, we find a dark place to hide in order to avoid being seen and to get away from the one who is chasing us. We even run to the darkness to hide our sins from God, which is the exact opposite of what God would have us do, because God would have us bring our sins into the light. Good morning, everyone. Today's message is the second installment in our series, The Acts of Prayer. Prayer made simple, but not simplistic. Mel talked last time about how sports teams work on fundamentals and before they move on to more complex concepts, and it's really how it comes from mastering those fundamentals that they are able then to master their craft. And it's the same with prayer. The word ACTS serves as an acronym for the four fundamental areas of prayer which we are focusing on in this series. 2 weeks ago, we looked at adoration. There's also confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Since today is part two, we're on confession. St. Augustine once said that the confession of evil works is the beginning of good works. And so by now, most of you should have this week's prayer card. Go ahead and take that out and let's take a look at it together. And thankfully, it's not really that big on the screen, but you got your card, right? So you should be good. It says, the word confess means to agree with. When we confess our sins, we agree with God that we are wrong and that we have sinned against him by what we have said, thought, or done. God is faithful and just to forgive us and restore our fellowship with him. Approach God in a humble manner and confess specific sins. But let's be honest. When we hear the word confession, we usually don't think of a definition like that, do we? When we hear the word confession, we usually think of someone who is being interrogated by police and they're confessing to a terrible crime. Or we think of someone who is entering into a box or a booth and they're there to meet with a priest. And while both of these contain pieces of what biblical confession is all about, what we see in the definition on the screen and on our cards and what we find in Scripture is just a little bit different. There is one passage in particular that I think really sheds light as to what prayers of confession are really about. And you can see them. They're going to be on our screen behind us. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can do so as well. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1, starting with verse 5, where it says, "This is the message we had heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." In many places in Scripture, as well as many places throughout culture, ancient culture, we see this contrast between light and darkness. It's very popular in religion, philosophy, and even literature. You can see the symbolism of light and darkness in the works of William Shakespeare, like in Romeo and Juliet, where light is used as a symbol of Juliet's beauty. or in The Great Gatsby, where F. Scott Fitzgerald uses light to symbolize idealism and dreams while using dark to symbolize greed and corruption. And in Robert Frost's poetry, we often see symbols and imagery of light and dark. I think it's pretty obvious to most of us that within Scripture itself, that light and darkness serves to symbolize good and evil and the struggle that exists between the two. But how does this contrast between light and darkness come into play in our daily walk with Jesus Christ? Let's take a look at that first verse again. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message we had heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." Now, the Greek word for dark and darkness is used 16 times in the New Testament. And 14 of those 16 times it's used metaphorically. And one such place is in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus says, "What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." Now, if darkness symbolizes evil in Scripture, then I think that we can safely assume from what Jesus is saying here that evil seeks to hide things. Dark seeks to hide things, while light seeks to do the very opposite. And while the Greek word for darkness is used 16 times, the Greek word for light is used much, much more. It comes up 73 times. And three of those times are in 2 Corinthians 4:6, where Paul says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." So here's an important truth that we need to know as Christians, and that is that light, which represents good, always seeks to reveal things. Darkness seeks to conceal. Light seeks to reveal. But what are they seeking to conceal and reveal from us or to us? John 1:5 says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it," in the New King James Version. You see, darkness, which represents evil, seeks to conceal and suppress the truth. Darkness seeks to conceal the truth about God and the character of God. Darkness seeks to hide from us who God actually is as a person. I mean, how many times have you heard people describe God as this malevolent dictator that seeks to squash anyone who does something wrong? I mean, I think we've all heard people use language like that when they talk about God. And it's because they don't comprehend God's true nature. There have been countless times where I've had someone come up to me and I'm talking to them about Jesus. I'm talking to them about the Lord and about salvation. And they say, "Keith, you know, I can't come to God until I get myself right first." They feel that they have to be good enough first because they think that God would reject them otherwise. And if you spend any time in the New Testament, you realize that that is not who God is at all. You see, because God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. It is God's nature to reveal himself to people. And what that means is that God is open to you. God is open to you. God doesn't hide himself. God wants you to come to him, and he wants you to know him fully. Now, I'm not talking about knowing all there is to know about God, like there's some sort of informational download that we're supposed to have, and we're going to have all this knowledge about God. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is relational. God wants us to know him on a relational level, and he desires for you to know him and to be fully known by you. But as sinful human beings, we don't trust that. We don't trust that sometimes. Why? Why do we not trust the fact that God wants us to know him? And it's because whenever we make ourselves known to others, whenever we open ourselves up like that, we oftentimes experience rejection. Or someone's got some sort of agenda, and they've got something that they want from us. People find things out about us when we bring them in close to us. And many times we are hurt in our lives because we let someone get to know us just that little bit more, and we're rejected. It happens in friendships, happens in business, happens in the workplace, and it happens in marriages all the time. We have all been hurt in the past because of rejection, because we've been rejected because of who we are, or someone took something that they learned about us and then they used it against us. Anybody ever had that happen to them? Yeah. And as a result, we're not too trusting when it comes to an all-powerful God wanting us to know him fully. But the truth is, the reality isn't that we distrust God wanting us to know him. We are distrusting of God wanting to know us. But hear the warnings of the Apostle John when he says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Do you remember what happened in the book of Genesis? Right after the beginning, the first few chapters, it's all wonderful. God is creating everything, and he says it's good. He creates man and woman in his own image, and it's good. Everything is good. But what happens right after that? Adam and Eve lived in joy and peace in the Garden of Eden until they sinned against God. And what happened right after they realized what they had done? They hid from God, didn't they? They hid themselves away in the darkness, hoping God wouldn't find them because they were ashamed of themselves. It's like a child that is scared of getting in trouble because they know that they've messed up big time. And so they run to a bedroom, they shut off all the lights, and they hide underneath the bed, sometimes for a few minutes, sometimes for hours, because they don't want to be found, because they know that once they are, they're in deep trouble. And they hide under the bed in the dark. Has anybody ever done that or done something like that? Let me pose this question to you. Was lying there in the dark fun? Was it fun just sitting there in the dark hiding? You see, attempting to hide from God in any way in our lives only leads us into the darkness. And we are then secluded from God. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, what fellowship can light have with darkness? It doesn't take a rocket scientist long to figure out that if you walk around in the darkness long enough, eventually you're going to run into something and you're going to trip and fall on your face and get hurt. I mean, that's just the truth of it, right? You walk around in the dark long enough, you're going to fall and get hurt. It's funny. The very thing that we do to avoid being hurt in our lives or to avoid receiving punishment is actually what leads us into more pain and suffering. But in 1 John it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our lives have left us suspicious of people wanting to know us fully. We just don't want to trust people at that high of a level. We're afraid because we've been hurt. All of us have been hurt. And that's why many people throw up walls, isn't it? People throw up walls, like, hey, you can get to know me, but you're only gonna come this far, right? People throw up walls, people have extreme boundaries, and that's also why people run from committed relationships. But God is inviting you, he's inviting us to drop down our walls, to lay aside our extreme boundaries with people, and to stop running from him. You see, over 2,000 years ago, God became vulnerable, and he took on human flesh, and he died a very terrible death on a Roman cross so that you could be vulnerable with him. Because what God really wants us to do, God wants us to bring our sins into the light. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to bring our sins into the light. But that isn't always easy, is it? I mean, how often do we enjoy sitting down and praying to God and talking about all the bad things that we did that day, right? It's not something we enjoy doing. Erwin Lutzer once said, he said, forgiveness is always free. Forgiveness is always free, but that doesn't mean that confession is always easy. Sometimes it's hard, incredibly hard. It is painful to admit our sins and entrust ourselves to God's care. And he's right. It is hard sometimes. It means that I have to make myself vulnerable. I have to confess things that I've done wrong. You know, the last time that I did that with a person, man, they left. Man, I can't go through that again. Or hey, how about the last time that I confessed to making a mistake, I lost my job. I can't afford to be that vulnerable again. God wants you to know him fully. But God also desires to know you fully. And if you're honest with yourself, that's what you want as well. Because deep down in the heart of every single human being, we have this desire to be known and to have somebody know us. Think about it. We all desire to be accepted, don't we? We all have this need within us to be accepted. Sure, many of us pretend like we don't. And we try to put on the tough guy attitude, like, yeah, I don't need to be accepted by anybody. I'm fine, you know. But we only act that way to avoid being hurt and to avoid being taken advantage of. All of us feel that it would be so nice to be able to be myself completely, to just be completely open and just be myself and not have to worry about whether or not someone's going to reject me or not. I could just be myself around whoever I want and they'll accept me. This is especially true when it comes to romantic relationships. I mean, we want that one person to know us fully and actually love the person that we are, right? That's what we desire. You need to know that God wants you to bring your sins into the light because vulnerability and communication are keys to every successful relationship. Vulnerability and communication. They're not the only important things, but they sure are important, aren't they? People who struggle with these two things, with vulnerability and communication, struggle to have successful relationships in their lives. I mean, and if you think about it, you know it's true because we've all known someone who struggles with these things. And we've all known someone who has struggled with these things and have had a relationship fall apart because of it. I found this following statement about romantic relationships specifically in an article that I was looking at this week, where the author says, "Don't keep your likes and your dislikes, your dreams and fears, achievements and mistakes to yourself. Don't keep those things to yourself. If it's important to you, share it with your partner. More than that, be sure to share more with your partner than you do with anyone else." Now, can you imagine a friendship or a romantic relationship where the other person never shares themselves with you? Can you imagine that? Imagine being friends with someone who was like that. Oh, hey, what can you tell me about so-and-so? I don't know. You know? You ever been friends with someone like that? Does that friendship or that relationship last very long? No, not really, because it never gets beyond surface level. God desires for you to bring yourself, all of yourself, 100% of who you are before him. That includes your sins. That includes every mistake that you've ever made in your life. He wants you to bring them out of the darkness and into the light by being vulnerable with him. John Stott, who is a theologian from England, wrote these words. He said, "The way to have fellowship with a God who is light is not to deny the facts or effects of sin, but to confess our sins and thankfully appropriate God's provision for our cleansing." God desires to know you fully. And in order to successfully foster that relationship, you have to be vulnerable with God by offering prayers of confession. Some of you might even have been thinking, well, you know, God knows everything. Of course he knows me fully, yes, but he's also a loving God, which means he doesn't force himself upon us. God desires for us to willingly come to him to know us fully and not to pressure himself upon us. And while I was doing my research this week, I came across a Barna study that was done a handful of years ago where they were surveying Christians who pray. So everybody who calls upon, you know, they call upon the name of Christ, they identify themselves as being Christian and they also pray. They found out that 43% of those people actually offer prayer as a confession. Now, if you take all those little components and put them together, it's like, ooh, 43% of people who are Christian, who also say they pray, that puts things into perspective. Only 43% of those people actually offer prayer as a confession. That means that 57% of praying Christians rarely, if ever, get vulnerable with God and allow Him to have a successful relationship with them. And if we want to bring that percentage up and get the body of Christ into a healthy relationship with our Creator, then we've got to get our sins into the light and be vulnerable with God. It's like, okay, that's great. How do we do that? Well, in James 4:7, it says, "So humble yourselves before God." So earlier we looked at these prayer cards that Isaiah and his crew graciously handed out to all of us. Go ahead and take those out again. And keep them out for a moment because we're going to look at them once or twice more. About five lines down in that opening paragraph, right at the end, the very last sentence of that opening paragraph, it says these words, "Approach God in a humble manner and confess specific sins." If you want to know what the application of today's sermon is, it's that right there. Approach God in a humble manner and confess specific sins. Really? So that's what I came here to learn today. Yes. Because according to Barna Research, only 43% of praying Christians actually offer prayers of confession, which means it is very likely that 57% or more of the people in this room right now aren't doing this. If you're not bringing your sins into the light, can you have a real and honest relationship with God? And I ask that because if you're not bringing your sins into the light, then according to 1 John, what we're doing is living in darkness. What fellowship can light have with darkness? Because God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:6. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Let me add one more layer to that. Look at James 4:17 on your screen. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Prayer is one of those things that just falls by the wayside for some people. And I don't know what it is about it, but maybe it's, you know, we get too busy, or we're tired, or we just don't want to, or whatever the excuse may be. But if you're not bringing your sins into the light, you're just sinning even more. That might be a little bit extreme, but I think according to what we see in Scripture, we can accurately say that. But the good news is, our God is good. He is good, and He is kind. And in faithfulness, He offers us His forgiveness to everyone who seeks it. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. St. Bernard once said, God removes the sin of the one who makes humble confession, and thereby the devil loses sovereignty he had gained over the human heart. God desires to have a vulnerable relationship with you, where you and Him know each other fully, where you humbly offer prayers of confession, bringing your sins into the light, which will also deprive the devil of power in your life. And it will restore your joy. John MacArthur said, the aim of confession then is not to erase consequences. It's to restore joy. And King David, in his prayer of confession when he sinned with Bathsheba, said these words. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And it's because confession, it ultimately leads to the reconciliation of our relationship. When we bring our sins into the light, God forgives us, and He draws us in, and we're restored, which always brings about reconciliation and great joy. It's like the time that you did something that you felt truly guilty about. We've all had moments like those, haven't we? Where we've done something to somebody that we feel very guilty about. And whatever that thing was, it had a huge negative impact on that other person. We've all done something like that. Feelings of guilt start to become unbearable. And it becomes like this immense weight that weighs us down, that just sits on our shoulders. And you decide finally, after you've just had enough, that you've got to confess. You've got to tell that other person about it, and you want to apologize. And remember how relieved you were to hear that they not only accepted your apology, but they forgave you as well. It's humbling. It's very humbling to put ourselves in that position. But when that weight is lifted, you can then resume your relationship with that person. And it's the same with God. James 4 says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you." That's his promise. He promises that as we submit to him and as we resist the devil will flee, and he will come near to us. And when we bring our sins into the light by humbling, offering prayers of confession, it robs the devil of his power, and it reconciles you to God, which restores your joy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And as we are drawing to a close this morning and our elders are coming forward, let me say these last few things. Many of us have this false idea of who God really is, but God is light. He is open and he wants you to freely come to him, where he will forgive your sins and purify you. He will cleanse you and restore you because of his great love and faithfulness. Therefore, let us observe the words in Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And that's the awesome thing about our Heavenly Father, is not only is it the opposite. So many times we come before God and it's like, God, I did this thing wrong. And we're so hesitant to come before God because we feel ashamed. But he doesn't want that for us. Even when we have to confess our sins, he wants us to approach him with confidence because he has already taken care of all of that on the cross and the empty tomb. Amen? You no longer have to hide in the dark like a scared child. You can be full of assurance that if you humbly approach God who is in the light, confessing your sins, that he will free you from any power that the devil may have over you, and he will restore your joy. And maybe you're the person who wants to do that. Maybe you're the person that's like, man, Keith, I want to do that, but I just don't know where to start. Well, we've got you covered. I told you to keep your cards out. Let's look at those one more time. About halfway down, there's a line that says, here's a good place or a good way to start. If you're thinking, man, I just don't know how to approach God with this, it's really simple. Heavenly Father, please forgive my sin. And be specific. Be specific. The more specific, the better. It's okay. You can be specific about what you've done. You're talking to God. You're not talking to your mother-in-law. It's all right. Be specific. God wants you to be honest with him. Please forgive my sin and give me your strength to put the sin behind me and live righteously. And I promise you that God will meet you in that prayer. He will meet you in that prayer because if you offer it genuinely and with humility, if you come before him humbly, he wants to meet you there. Because he wants you. The devil may lie to us and tell us that we're not good enough, but the truth is, God wants you just the way you are. And he loves you too much to leave you there just the way you are. Come to me as you are, and I'll help you take it to the next level. That's who our God is. But Keith, what happens if I'm struggling with the same sin repeatedly? Sometimes we feel like we're offending God because, man, I did this just the other day. And I just did it again. Does God want me to come and confess it again? Yes, he does. And the same rules still apply. Now, if it's a recurring sin issue, that might be something that you need help from another brother or sister in Christ with to overcome, but that's okay. That's what the church is here for, right? We're here to lift each other up. We're here to help each other go to the next level of our faith. We're here to help one another get through our sinful situations, to bear each other's burdens. That's what we're here for. Now, that takes an additional step of vulnerability. It takes an additional step of me saying, I'm going to humble myself. I've confessed this to God. I need to go to a brother or sister to get help. But that's what we're here for. And I just want to encourage you, if you're struggling with sin and need to bring it into the light, please do so. And I promise you that if you bring your sins into the light, the devil is going to lose power over you, and God will restore you, and he will give you the victory. You can't win the victory yourself over sin, but God does. And God can grant you the victory in your life. Because if God can defeat the grave, he can defeat your sin. There's nothing too big for him. But you've got to bring your sins into the light and be vulnerable. And God promises to restore you if you come humbly before him. And one more thing before we close. Let's look again at 1 John chapter 1. Now, we've been looking at verses 5 through 9 this morning. That's been the meat of our passage. But before John says what he says in verses 5 through 9, he has to say verse 4 first, where he says, "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." You see, God doesn't want you to pray to him so that he can judge you. He doesn't want you to pray to him in order for you to feel terrible about the things that you've done. He wants you to pray to him so that he can build a relationship with you and so he can restore you and he can make your joy full. So confidently and humbly, approach God with prayers of confession so that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just want to say thank you so much for the cross. We say thank you so much for the empty tomb because, God, you are bigger than any of our sins. You know, sin was strong in our lives, but Jesus is stronger. We believe that. We proclaim that. And so, God, I just want to pray over our congregation and over anybody who might be watching the live stream at home, Father. I pray that as we live our lives and as we make mistakes and as we are going about our daily lives, that we would just get real and that we would just kind of step outside of ourselves and just be like, you know what? I'm not praying, and I need to pray. Man, I feel weighed down. I need this weight off of me. I pray that our people would do that. I pray that our people would go into a room by themselves. Maybe it's a closet. Maybe it's a bedroom. Maybe it's sitting at a table somewhere. But just to take that time, just to get real with you and just be like, Father, I did this, and I'm sorry. I need your forgiveness. And God, you are awesome, because before we even ask for it, you're already extending your forgiveness to us. We thank you for that, Father, and we love you, and we praise you, and we give you all the honor and the glory. We thank you. Let us now celebrate you with joy, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.